Well, today I'd like to focus on our first reading, which is such a wonderful episode in the life of the early church, the release of Paul and Silas miraculously from the prison. And we see that the crowd had attacked them in Philippi. Paul and Silas were missionaries, and they had been dragged before the magistrates, where Paul and Silas had been stripped and ordered to be beaten with rods. It says, after inflicting many blows on them, they were thrown into prison. Most likely this was 39 whippings with the rod, beatings with the rod. That's normally what was done in those days, 40 less one. And then it says they were thrown into prison, not just any prison, but the innermost cell, to keep them so that they could not escape. And even they were chained and their feet were staked to a post. And so here they are in prison, and they had just been beaten very badly. They're perhaps sitting or lying on the floor. But it says something interesting. Scripture says they were praying and they were singing hymns to God, and it was midnight. And I think of St. Maximilian Kolbe when he was arrested and placed in that starvation bunker. Even in the other starvation bunkers where there was cursing and blasphemy, in the one where Maximilian Kolbe was, he led the men in prayer, the rosary, and singing hymns, the Immaculate Mary and other hymns that they sang, Salve Regina, other hymns that they sang in the starvation bunker. And here is Paul and Silas praying and singing hymns to God. Even though they had been badly beaten during the day, they were still thanking God and praising God. As one author says, St. Paul was such a remarkable saint. He could sing hymns even when he was in the stocks in the inner prison at midnight. The one thing you can never take away from a Christian is God and the presence of Jesus Christ. With God, there is freedom, even in a prison, and even at midnight, there is light. And then the author goes on to say, St. Paul was quite willing to open the door of salvation to the jailer who had shut the door of the prison on him. There was never a grudge in St. Paul's nature. He could preach to the very man who had fastened him in the stocks. So St. Paul was a forgiving, and St. Silas were forgiving Christians. So they're praying and singing hymns, and God hears their prayers, and a severe earthquake shook the foundations of the jail. Earthquakes were still common and are still common in that part of the world. It says the doors flew open, the chains were pulled loose. When the jailer had awoken, he figured the prisoners had escaped because the doors were wide open. And so the jailer takes his sword, about to fall upon his sword and commit suicide, because he knew that if his prisoners had escaped, he would have to undergo the same capital punishment, the death penalty that they were going to undergo, which could include scourging and mockery, as well as death, perhaps by crucifixion or some other more painful form of death. And so that's why the jailer was going to take his own life, to commit suicide, to fall upon his sword. But as soon as St. Paul realizes it, he shouts out, "Do no harm to yourself. We're all still here." And then he asked for a light, and he rushed in. And it says, trembling with fear and with awe, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Obviously, the prayers and hymns that they had been praying and singing had opened and softened his heart. And then seeing the great miracle where all the doors were flung open, and yet the fact that they were still there, he had a conversion. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And St. Paul answers, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved." So that is the first step to catechesis, believing in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you do that, that is the first step. And then notice what he does. The jailer brings them back to his home, and he and his entire household were baptized. This would include perhaps his spouse, his children, the infants, and any servants or slaves that were also in the house. So the entire household was brought to salvation. And many of the commentators say this is a good reason why we baptize babies and why we baptize infants, because it was a practice of the apostles to baptize. St. Augustine says, we receive from the apostles the tradition of baptizing infants, according to St. Augustine. And so we have this amazing event, the conversion of the jailer, the conversion of his whole family. And notice, accepting Christ as personal Lord and Savior is a good first step, but it's not what brought them to salvation. They had to be baptized. They had to become part of the church. They had to become Christians. Yes, we begin by proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord, but that was not the end and the end of the story. In order to become a Christian, they had to be baptized. They had to repent of their sins and have their sins washed away in the sacrament of baptism. And lastly, let me just end with this amazing quote from St. John Chrysostom. If you ever want to read an amazing homily, read anything written by St. John Chrysostom. You know, when I read anything that he wrote compared to, St. Jerome or St. Augustine or Ignatius or Irenaeus or Polycarp, the insights of St. John Chrysostom are totally amazing. Listen to these few sentences. Notice how the jailer reveres the apostles. He opens his heart to them when he sees the doors of the prison flown open. He lights the way further with his torch, but it is another kind of torch that lights up his soul. Then he cleans their wounds, and his soul is cleansed from the filth of sin. On offering them material food, he receives in return a heavenly banquet.